Two pros and a cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up on the show, how did things go down at Notre Dame? Brian Kelly's final meeting, his first meeting in Baton Rouge, the hiring of Marcus Freeman, Tommy Rees staying put. We'll have inside information on all of that here. We're also going to take a closer look, kind of, at Thursday Night Football as Week 13 kicks off later on tonight. Talk about being chased by dogs. True story. That's how one legendary career got its start in Pittsburgh. We're also going to talk about looking into the situation in Detroit, the first ever Lions first win fantasy draft on Sports Talk Radio. Brent Musburger's all angry, and the great Albert Breer stops by. All of that is yours. Coming up next here, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe in a Thursday edition, Fox Sports Radio.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
It's the story that keeps on giving in the world of football. We'll get into more of the latest details on all of it coming up here just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Thursday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We'll take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
So sad.
Yeah, LeVar's grooving.
He is right now.
He is grooving.
Which South Side, LeVar?
It doesn't right even now matter. Just know that the South Side is generally the funnest side.
Come on. Now. I know what you did there.
Brady, it's because you're my little O brother. You know what I mean? I got to get my O brothers off the out the gate quick. You know, we got to get out the gate quick.
Well, hey, you know where Thousand Oaks is in relation to L.A.? It's way north.
There it is. That guy right there, Brady
That
Quinn.
Gives you any indication, folks. Jonas is anywhere near the south side.
You wouldn't last 2 minutes in my world, homeboy.
I'm telling you, I might get a concussion from a golf ball.
Not in the 805.
You know what might happen? I might trip on one of those beautifully paved sidwalks that they have all around there.
Big talk from the king of the rolling estates of Dublin, Ohio. You got to see this place. It's just disgusting.
Dublin's as flat as your ass. So I don't know why you're saying that.
Gated communities, you name it. It is just a revolting wealth flowing out of there.
As flat as Jonas's ass. He's been squatting years.
That is not true. I did him yesterday and got hurt in the process.
Put on some more weight, pal.
All right.
He said he was doing it with a jock strap
boy
on some party socks. That was it. And a headband.
That's what we do. That's how you know if you're going low enough.
Said Rocky Balboa is his inspiration.
which, by the way, that movie is on. Get in the studio. So we've got ourselves the story in football that continues to keep on giving. Because every time you think that there's the latest development at Notre Dame or we've seen the latest story that's come out, Brian Kelly makes the rounds, does a hit on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, only to be followed up later on by Notre Dame not wasting much time, Brady Quinn. And they've identified that, there's a couple of guys, they're going to go ahead and stay put. The players seem pretty excited about it, but it seems like Notre Dame's found their guy to move forward and sort of close the book on the Brian Kelly era.
Yeah, so let's just quickly go through the process of the last 72 hours. Obviously, a lot became public. Jonas was calling for the words of Brian Kelly to his team. We were able to eventually get that. That was out there. And it was coupled by then Brian Kelly speaking to LSU. And I think when you listen to both, what it comes down to is, and you can hear him, because Brian's smart. He knows this stuff's going to come out and be public. You can hear him give his support for the players and team at Notre Dame. And at the same time, you can hear him tell those LSU players why he left Notre Dame to come to LSU. Meaning, he talks about, for example, being able to recruit the best athletes around the country. He didn't mention academics or education. All right. He talks about the president, athletic director being the best in the country, unlimited resources. So he kind of took some veiled shots at the athletic director at Notre Dame, Jack Swarbrick, almost kind of painting a picture of, hey, I came to you with some request after the season for my team for what I feel like they needed, and you didn't satisfy that. So it kind of started with all this stuff becoming public, right? Now, the only thing I'll go back on and say, you know, he says that, hey, he thinks this Notre Dame football team's a top four team. Well, dude, if they're a top four team, then tell LSU to wait. There is nothing I think there's been a misconception.
That's a great point.
Like, I think there's been a misconception by a lot of people out there about my feelings on this. I don't care if Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go take $95 million somewhere else or go have a chance to win a national championship. I don't care about that. Like, I listened to Colin Cowherd go on this whole spiel about stuff with LeBron James and, no, it's because they left, that's why. No, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. I didn't care. I grew up a Cavs fan. I didn't care when LeBron left Cleveland. It was the way he did it. And part of the reason I didn't care because I just moved to South Florida, so I knew I got to see more of those Miami Heat games. But, so selfishly, I digress. But it's not about if someone leaves. Sometimes they're doing you a favor, but it's about how they go about doing it. I couldn't disagree with that flimsy, you know, discussion point anymore. But let's fast forward then to what happened Tuesday night. When the College Football Playoff Committee came out, and Gary Barta admitted that the instability on the coaching staff at Notre Dame could potentially keep them from being in the College Football Playoff, that sounded off an alarm. And in part because you've got a group of seniors and a lot of players that experienced a lot of success over the past 5 years that they don't want to go out like that. They don't want to have their chance of playing potentially for a national championship be impacted by instability. And so the athletic director, Jack Swerbrick in Notre Dame, ended up meeting with Marcus Freeman, who gave him a compelling pitch for why he should be the next head coach. And that pitch, coupled with a few things that Jack Swerbrick wanted, for example, Tommy Rees having to come back as the OC. You know, Mike Elston coming back to call the defense at Notre Dame so Marcus Freeman can be freed up to be the head coach. All of those things had to be accomplished in order for this thing to move forward and keep the majority of what was there before Brian Kelly left intact. And so Jack Swerbrick, who I don't want to say went back on what he said publicly on his word, but it was all accelerated because of some of the support from the recruits and players for Marcus Freeman, but more so because they wanted to give this class that's been really successful at Notre Dame a chance to be potentially in for the College Football Playoff. So they've got everything in line now. They'll finish up the contract details today. But that's all essentially how this whole thing worked out. And when everyone asks, like, well, is it going to be a good hire? How's this going to work out? They got to be excited about it. I don't know. I think keeping continuity is a good thing. But whenever a head coach leaves, the next head coach, as much as you want to keep, you know, the same, you've got to make it your own. So Marcus Freeman now has to figure out his identity as a head coach in Notre Dame, not a defensive coordinator or defensive play caller. And he's got to do that, not having any experience doing it before. So this is one of the biggest stages you can imagine in football, not only college football, but in football. And he's going to have to cut his teeth now in this position. And so it's going to be interesting to see whether or not it works out.
Let me ask you this, and you may not know the answer to this, but if Marcus Freeman, if they weren't in a rush, say, to make a hire or thinking like, okay, we need to look, show some stability because we want to give this senior class a chance if there's an opportunity to play in a college football playoff and chase a national championship, how much serious consideration would Marcus Freeman have had gotten if there wasn't a rush needed to make a hire right now?
There would have been serious consideration. There's no doubt about it. You know, when he got there, they kind of felt like just from the year he's been there, he had the sort of persona that would be a head coach. They just didn't know if it would be one where Brian Kelly's there for a number of years and then turns it over to Marcus Freeman, or if it was Marcus Freeman being at Notre Dame for a little bit. You know, if say, for example, this scenario had played out. If Notre Dame had waited longer, I know for a fact they would have targeted Luke Fickell or Matt Campbell, which, oh, by the way, they didn't even have a conversation with.
Wow.
They didn't even have a conversation with. So if that gives you any indication of, you know, when Jack Swerbrick said he was going to lead the search, he did, and he never even put together an advisory, none of that. He basically heard what the committee said. He met with a bunch of people and talked to a bunch of people there at the university and wanted to keep the continuity and keep everything in-house. So he would have been considered. He probably would have interviewed. but it would have been amongst the other two names I just mentioned, Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, and a bunch of others, because it is Notre Dame. And it is a position that is valued, and there's people even at the NFL level who are poking around a little bit interested.
Jeez. What a crazy just 2-3 day stretch for Notre Dame, man. And then Tommy Rees obviously deciding to stay there. And I know he talked to the team and just said, I don't have any details to give you. And you mentioned they're going to iron out, you know, contracts and all that stuff. I just think for anybody that's defending Brian Kelly from the standpoint of, well, you know, he's got a right to leave. Absolutely. But the fact that you've seen top assistants, guys not follow him, players speak out about it, and just the overwhelming shock and disappointment from people at Notre Dame with the way that it was handled, that tells you everything you need to know. All the stories that came out that people were holding onto or having in their back pocket, that tells you everything you need to know about it. And just, I look at a guy like Tommy Rees and I think, man, it might be better for his career if he did take the job at LSU, because he could always be welcome back at Notre Dame. But if he goes to LSU, it's the SEC. He can show that he can do it in a different place. The fact that he even decided to stay tells me that there was something that they felt wrong about the way Brian Kelly left. So people that are defending him, it's like, look at the people closely involved and their reaction to it. And that, I think, tells you a larger story about how the whole thing was handled. I don't get it.
He was with them on the recruiting trail. I mean, when that whole thing happened, he was with them.
And had no idea.
Didn't know.
Jesus.
And so I think that caught some people off guard. Ultimately, I don't know that, you know, was what led this to all this. I mean, that's more on the fault of LSU. Because LSU had been working on this even before the Stanford game. And along with a couple of teams, I told you, Southern Cal was interested. And those talks didn't get very far because, you know, BK didn't want to – I think that would have kind of – going to USC from Notre Dame after being the winningest coach, that would have maybe tarnished some of that legacy just because it's a rival and it means that much. So that wasn't willing to happen. But LSU is a little bit different. And I feel like he feels like there's a better chance of him winning a national championship given their recent track record. You know, when you say, hey, Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron all won one, and those are the last three head coaches at LSU, you could make the case that – next to Nick Saban, Brian Kelly's like the most winningest coach in college football. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. If you look at what he did coming from Grand Valley to Cincinnati to Notre Dame, there's no one who's won more games in college football since 2000. It's Nick Saban, and then it's Brian Kelly. So I think he looks at this, too, as that's the last thing on his resume. He wants to be known as a guy who was a winner and who eventually won a national championship, and he feels like that's the best place to be able to do it. But again, I go back to the way he went about doing it. That's the issue with all this. It's not that he left. It's not. First off, I don't know that his contract would have been extended anyway, or he would have received any extension that would have extended the length of what this is at LSU. So the reason why you saw all of this is because I think it's more of a frustration that everyone was left in the dark. And before you even have a chance to know if you have a shot to play for a national championship. And if you really believe this is a top four team, then tell LSU, hey, I'm going to be your head coach, but you got to wait a week, okay? I know the recruiting signing period's coming up December 15th, but you know what? You know, that's not going to make the difference in whether or not we're going to be able to win or lose, you know, in the future. It's going to be about me making sure I do what I need to do before I leave. And so let's wait to see. And if I'm not in the playoff, I'll come there right away. I won't coach the New Year's Six game. I did it to Cincinnati. I'll do it to Notre Dame. I'll come leave right now. But let me see first if we don't slide into the playoff and have a shot for playing for a national championship. That would have been the way to do it.
That would have been the way.
That would have been the way.
100%. That would have been the classier way of the more responsible, respectable way of doing it. I agree with that. But I like Freeman as the hire. I really do, and I'm pulling for him. You guys actually came up together. I think you're only like maybe a little bit ahead of him.
I'm a couple years older than him.
Yeah, a little bit ahead of him.
Yeah, he's a couple years behind me.
But, so. I mean, he's an Ohio guy, Big mm-hmm. Ten guy.
Huber Heights.
You know, yeah, so I'm pulling for him. I mean, I've been a fan of him. I obviously watch Notre Dame because they're like Penn State, so I pull for and watch Notre Dame. I've loved the job that he's done. I look for development in players. That's like the biggest thing I look for when I watch football is how developed the players are, and you can see how these players develop, you know, during the course of this season. And so to me, I mean, I like what he did. I like his work on defense, but I agree with you. It is going to come down to what is going to be the culture and the identity that he's able to create, and can he uphold it? Is that you know, the levels of who's subordinates, who aren't, can they create that pattern of how they're going to go about their business and be successful? That's generally one of the hardest things. And then being what you need to be, being the president and talking to the parents, talking to the community, yeah, pulling everything together. That a lot of the off field is what's going to be the biggest thing that Freeman is going to have to overcome.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think he's going to have to overcome any of that. He's got that in his bag. He's charismatic. He's smart. He's going to be able to talk to parents, recruits, and all that, talk to the alumni base and donors. To me, the most difficult part of this as a 35-year-old, and you've got, think about USC and Notre Dame right now. You've got an under-40 coach in Lincoln Riley. You've got a Notre Dame now, a 35-year-old and a 29-year-old OC in Tommy Rees, like, and Marcus Freeman. I mean, it's young, man. I mean, yeah, it's crazy that you're turning over that big of a position,
yeah,
to young folks. And we've seen it other places where it's been successful, right? Sean McVay, you know, he falls into that category. And so you've seen other guys have success. I look at it and I go, he's going to have to learn how to manage people, yeah, like his own staff.
Yeah.
Because it's different when you're a head coach versus a DC. But no, I like Marcus. I really do. I'll be curious to see you know, how it builds from here and how he puts his own stamp on it. But I think given the circumstances, this is the best decision that Jack could have made in these circumstances if he didn't want to wait and if he didn't want to be patient about how all this is going to work moving forward.
Two pros and a cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so coming up next, we do have a quarterback decision that was made in the NFL. But was it the right one? We'll get into all that for you right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Jonas tells on himself every single time we are on break, Brady.
These.
I mean, more
one
and more.
These, pal.
More and more. Yeah. Every single time we have a break, I learn more and more about my other O brother.
Yeah,
man.
Captain Hook over here.
You are a touched soul, bruh. When they say you need Jesus and they show the picture of the person that they're referencing, it's you. You need some Jesus, bro.
Oh, man. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. We're trying to enjoy a little Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas. I mean, can't we do that without you?
I do appreciate LeVar, and you'll notice this.
Yeah.
He almost gets a little Bucky Larson in there.
Yeah, he does.
Because I'm moving my hips. What's wrong with that?
Hey, you definitely move your hips, brother.
Yeah.
Shots out.
By the way, later on this hour, we're going to do later on in the show, are we going to get into our little Detroit Lions draft? Each of us on the show is going to draft which team the Lions will get their first win against. We can draw. Think about the order. And then
is it that
there.
Time of year again?
Well, because, I mean, they've got six they've got six games left. They've got six games left, and I just figure since we're all confident they're going to win a game, they're all confident we're going to win a game, then you know, we could do a little draft.
He's not going to catch your jokes, man.
Yeah. He's not going to. He gets on these one-track minds about what he wants to talk about or do on the show, and if you try to just get him to steer off that for one half second, he will not oblige.
What was the joke you were trying to make that probably wasn't good?
I just said, is this our annual event, our Detroit Lions? Pick them for which team?
I think that's just insulting. It's negative, and it's taking a shot at the Lions fan base. It's a struggling team.
So you're right. That is really negative. It's probably more negative than doing an actual game show on live national radio about which team it will be.
This is what they got coming to them. You've already said it on the air. You've tried to bet on them and side with them multiple times this year, and all they've done is kick you in the nuts. This is your chance at a little bit of revenge.
Here's all I'll say in defense of the Detroit Lions, and Jared Goff, mind you. In the last three games, What's Matt Stafford's win-loss record?
Damn right.
What's Jared Goff's?
Damn right.
Yeah. Matt Stafford, 0-3. Jared Goff, 0-2-1.
Yeah.
All right. Better winning percentage, if that was actually a thing.
Take that for data.
How about, hey, how about their quarterback rating? Jared Goff's a little higher. Just saying.
Yeah.
He's got a couple touchdown passes, no interceptions in that span.
And no wins in that span.
But he's got a tie, doesn't he?
Hey,
he's got a tie.
He's got a tie, and he's got a better, and he's got a better quarterback rating. So I'm just saying,
man.
Folks.
It's, it is just a
– Jonas, your sarcasm is amazing, bro.
It is that time of year, though. I mean, we got to start.
I don't know when you're being serious or if you're joking sometimes.
Okay, what about this?
I was joking. I was seriously joking because you're never really serious. Serious, you know?
All right, very good.
Unless when your voice goes deep. Like, Jonas, you got to understand this, Brady. I'm sure you've worked with him long enough so you could get this. So our listeners out there, let me educate you guys on Jonas real quick. Right? All right. So when we're on break, this is Jonas's voice. Like, hey, LeVar, like, did you know this?
This is such a lie.
Like, you put the hook up, da-da-da, this, da-da-da, right? Hey, Berto, hey, Lee, how's everything? And then when we get to back, we're coming out of break, it's like, and back to two pros and a cup of joe.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There it is, right? There it is. I can't even imitate it, but there it is.
That's it. This is just how I talk.
When the voice goes deep,
I don't know.
You know the on-air light is on.
This is just how I talk.
I can't believe you could go from that high of an octave to that low of an octave in a matter of seconds, man.
I don't know.
I just wanted to educate our listeners on that. If you ever see Jonas out in public and you say hi to him and his voice doesn't sound like the voice on radio, it's because he has a different radio voice.
Wow, listen,
he gets in the character.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what you're referring to here.
Hey, listen.
Not familiar with all that.
Hey, two pros.
It's almost like he used to do like a phone sex line or something.
I'm telling you, it's pretty sensual. I try to stay away from it.
Can't believe you brought that up.
Fact that you used to do it?
I mean, that's one of his many jobs. He gets all the ladies all hot and bothered with his voice, and that's where he talks all the time.
Have the Chuck E. Cheese uniform on when you were doing the calls?
No, times were lean, and I did not know what I was actually interviewing for until they got further into the conversation. I said, "Yeah, I didn't know that it was all that."
You were guy eight, huh?
No, I'm touching it right now.
It just
Jonas, you were guy eight.
Yeah. Star what to get the Jonas Knox, and that's Knox with two X's on the end.
Three
X's.
But again, not everybody grew up behind the gates in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Dublin, Ohio like you guys did.
If you're from Pittsburgh from the early 90s late 80s, I mean, behind the gates.
You ain't fooling nobody. I've been to Carson Street. I know exactly what that's like.
Behind the gates has a very, very different meaning. You know, you have the tourist attractions of Pittsburgh, and then you have the gates behind the gates of Pittsburgh.
Fathead Saloon is a cover-up for some mansion behind the gates. Mario's on Carson Street. I know all about it, man.
You better be able to hop them gates. I'll tell you that.
I know all about it.
You
want
to know how I learned how to play football? You want to know a true story? Here's a true story. You want to know how I knew I could make people miss me?
Yeah.
So one day, I'm delivering newspapers with my cousin. Me and my brother are delivering newspapers with my cousin. You know, this is like during the time there was a lot of activity, gang activity taking place.
What do you mean?
Just groups of people hanging out together and spending time together and, you know, fellowshipping and partaking in communion and different things like that.
Sounds like Dublin.
And we were delivering newspapers, and we had to walk down a alleyway that led to a different part of where, you know, my grandmother lived. I was at my grandmom's house. We were delivering papers. So, not knowing that my cousin was very deep into the activities that were taking place amongst the congregation of people who were partaking in communion and different things like that, collecting offerings and stuff like that.
Right.
And we see some of these dudes that, well, they're from different congregations, so to speak, all right? And there was a red-nosed pit bull behind that gate you're talking about, right? That gate. They see him. He sees them, but me and my brother have no idea what's going on. Then they start talking, and I could tell by the interaction something wasn't right. right? Like the back and forth, it just wasn't right. My cousin was like, just keep throwing tossing the papers. Don't look at them. Just stay going forward. So I'm tossing the newspapers, me and my brothers, tossing newspapers, this, that, and the other. And they start escalating, and they let the dog out.
Oh, no.
My brother, way better athlete than me, super dope dude, just didn't get the height, right, chose to play basketball, whatever. My brother was gone. He's so fast, he was gone. I turned to look, and he's done this to me at least several times in our lives where there were life-threatening situations, and my brother's fight or flight, his flight was on 10, right? Like, gone. Like, I'll mourn your death, but I'm safe, and I'm good. He's on the other block, right? Before it even gets jumping off, my brother is gone. My cousin is already aware of what's going on. He jumps on top of a car. So he jumps on the hood, climbs on the top of the car. The dog sees me. I'm not thinking quick enough to jump on a car. Okay, I didn't see the car. I just know now this dog is looking at me and has started to run towards me. So I start running. And I'm like, I can't outrun this dog, but I'm running. So my reaction juice kicks in. And I'm like, okay, this is a surface where if I run hard enough and I stop and I run right back towards the dog will slide by me and I might have a chance to escape because I can't. And I'm thinking all this stuff, right? So I stop hard stop, like a comeback for a hook, right? Or a real shallow hook. The dog goes sliding by me because he was coming so hard to come get me. And I turned and looked and so I was like, yo! I shook a dog! So I'm running like I'm on my Dion, like I'm high-stepping. I still got to get away from this dog. But I'm like, the dog ran out of the way. I see, my eyes, my visions, my senses came back to me. I see a porch. I run, and there's this fat kid. He was eating, and he's laughing because they obviously have done this to a lot of people. He's laughing. I go running. I'm like going to run into their house because I don't want to get bit. So I go running up the steps. He's like, no. Like, I'm running. The dog finally peels back around, goes up the steps. I jump over the railing back onto the ground and go down the block to meet my brother. And the dog then bit the fat boy in the ass. On God, true story. I was high-stepping down the street running, and I was like, yo, somebody needs to get me a football because I just shook a red-nosed pit player. And my cousin was running down with me. He was like, bruh, I ain't never seen nothing like that. On God, I played football that fall and figured out I could make people miss me and was fast enough to run away from them.
Look at that.
That's on God the truth.
Look at that.
There you go, baby.
And by the way.
Speed.
By the way.
Speed.
They don't deal with that in the gated communities of Dublin, Ohio.
Speed.
They don't know where we're from, LeVar.
Yeah,
they
you know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about?
They don't understand.
I never grew up in a gated community, but we had plenty of dogs that was chasing us. I remember I got knocked over by an Irish wolfhound.
That's right.
When I was young.
That's a big-ass dog.
Dude, that thing beelined at me, and it's like, you know how furry they are, you kind of can't really see their eyes. I just remember being flat backed and it was on top of me, and I was like, what is this, a bear? Like, yeah. I literally thought I got attacked by a bear, and someone told me it was a dog.
It's a big
I was
dog.
Like 5 years old, and I vaguely remember the story. I just remember being flat backed and this dog on top of me that I thought was a bear. So, hey, by the way,
and how fitting for Dublin.
I showed no speed, no speed whatsoever. Like, deer in headlights, shocked, thought I was being attacked by a bear. Apparently, in a residential neighborhood where you wouldn't, I mean, there's you don't see bears like in that area of the country, at least not there. So,
and they call gates that you're saying the gates, they called them stockades where I came from, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't
me too.
Know if they was trying to keep us out or keep us in.
Yeah, listen, I hear you, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Thousand Oaks, it's gates.
Yeah, the 805.
Yeah, yeah. You know, black, strong, steel gates.
Yeah, listen, you know, man.
Like, stockade, baby.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Come from the muck of the mud.
Yeah, we're you stockades for us, stock market for Brady Quinn. He doesn't get it, man.
Eddie Garcia is back there melting down.
And by the way, we just want to point out Taysom Hill was named starting quarterback for tonight's game against the Cowboys. So there's the paying
there's
off of the tease.
There's your analysis.
There it is. Right. there it is, folks. That is how you pay off a tease professionally in sports talk radio. Take notes out there. All right, coming up next, we are going to get into some other stories, including bad news for a bunch of people who were looking to get paid. We'll get into that for you right here on Fox Sports Radio. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, he's our dog. He's the one and only Brady. Eddie Garcia. Okay,
gosh.
I screwed up because I was trying to say Bulldog, Fresno State Bulldog, and it came out Brady
Nice
Quinn.
Cover.
I apologize.
Nice cover.
I'm sorry,
because
Eddie.
Because Brady and Bulldog are exactly the same.
It starts with a B. I'm sorry, Eddie. I apologize. I'll get it better next time. I promise. My screw up. It's my screw up, Eddie.
Do your update now, Mr. Eddie.
I know. I'm shook.
I feel like
a dog just chased me or something.
Shook him up.
Well, if you're a Major League Baseball fan, you're probably not happy about this news, but hey, it's the offseason. But officials for the league and the Players Union met for 7 minutes on Tuesday before talks broke down, and that led to a lockout at midnight Eastern time. The business of baseball now has been shut down. It's the first lockout in Major League Baseball since 1990. In NBA games of note, we had the Bucks beating the Hornets 127-125, 8 straight wins now for Milwaukee. The defending champs getting back on track after a slow start. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 40 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. LaMelo Ball, 36 points and a loss for Charlotte. Top 25 college basketball, 13 ranked teams in action. 4 of them lost. Number 12, BYU, losing in overtime to Utah Valley, 72-65. It was 14th ranked Florida falling to Oklahoma, 74-67. Number 18, Memphis loses to Georgia, 82-79. And number 24, Michigan losing to North Carolina, 72-51. Also wins in the top 10 for number 5, UCLA, number 6, Villanova, and number 10, Arkansas. We got a little Thursday night football coming up tonight with the Saints hosting the Cowboys, and the Saints going to start Taysom Hill at quarterback against the Cowboys. Amari Cooper, by the way, off the COVID list for Dallas and expected to play after missing 2 games for Dallas. Now let's go back to Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and I think his name is Jonas Knox. Fox Sports Radio Studios.
Thank you, Edmund. I appreciate it, and I apologize.
Good for you, Eddie.
Sorry, Eddie.
How are you going to disrespect Edmund like that?
I just, we had Brian Finley, and maybe we all got kind of thrown off by his performance.
Yeah. Don't say all of us.
You know, I tried to reach out to him on social media last night because he wanted to bloviate about Pac-12 basketball. And I just said to him, I'm like, can we get like something else? Can we talk about anything else? and he gets so offended by that. And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to be offensive. I feel like you're staying in one lane. There's a lot of other basketball out there that's pretty good, too.
Well, I mean, you do kind of go after people on social media. I mean, if it's not Todd Furman, several other people, there's
cheese.
Instances. It's not cheese. I mean, they're going after a guy. People are trying to give their
takes. I just said, here's what it was with Todd Furman.
A straw man argument.
He was talking about an argument that, like, didn't matter. It only would have mattered if Alabama lost and they didn't. So, like, the entire point of what he was talking about, which I hadn't heard any network talking about, which that was how a 2-loss Alabama team was going to get into the playoff. I'm like, why are we even having this discussion? Like, we can wait a week or we can wait till the end of the game and see how it pans out to see if they're actually going to get in or not. Like, why do we need to debate about this right now?
It's so funny, though. All right. Coming up next, we are going to get into some people that got paid a lot of money. They shouldn't be too thrilled about what is currently going on. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, somebody is accusing the NFL of doing something that would be deemed improper by a lot of people, especially on the streets. So we will get into all that here coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR. Right now, though, it is time for us to get into a little something we do every single day on the show, except for yesterday. It's time for this.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you, in case you missed it.
And we turn it over to the great Lee DeLab.
Why did we miss it yesterday?
No.
What happened?
Well, had to call out RG3 for some stuff.
Oh.
Had to happen.
Oh.
But it was
dang
better.
You, RG3.
It was better than what we were going to do. So we'll take it. This is a man, by the way, Lee DeLab, who's going to be departing for New York on tonight.
That needs to be, in case you missed it. That's going to be an interesting deal.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Lee, how drunk are you going to be on the plane on the way there?
Oh, I'm gonna try and knock a few back, get some Z's on the flight. There might be a special FSR IR next week if I make it.
Hey, what was that movie with Bernie Mac and Ashton Kutcher where he came home with Zoe and what was the name of that movie again? Meet the Parents?
Boogie Nights?
No. Definitely wasn't Meet the Parents.
Sorry.
That's with Ben Stiller. That's with Ben Stiller.
It was kind of the same thing, but just a little different.
Ben Stiller. That's by the way, Bernie.
Guess Who's
Mac.
Coming to Dinner, which was a remake of Sidney Poitier's movie.
Bam! Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Bam! That's what Mr. Lee DeLapp is doing this weekend.
Yes, he is.
He's going to meet Bernie Mac. This is going to be the third remake.
You're not lying either.
Yeah, I'm really not lying. Really not lying.
Lee De Niro.
If he comes back on IR, it ain't going to be from drinking. Somebody going to be there whooped his ass.
Hey, Lee, don't worry, man. First time I met my wife's family, and I asked, they gave me a tamale, and I asked for ketchup. I basically got thrown out the door. So you're going to go through a rough patch early on.
Lee.
It's a whole different world.
Lee, if I could give you any advice, just keep your eyes up, brother. Just keep your eyes up, man. Keep your chest out, man. Don't show any signs of weakness. Keep that chin strong, bruh.
Oh, man. Oh, God bless you, Lee.
There ain't nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, Lee.
God bless you. Gotta
you got to stay strong, bruh.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Lee's meeting the in-laws for the first time. And
the dad looks just like me.
He played linebacker for the Washington football team?
Yes.
Very good.
Everything.
Make him say it, Brady.
The entire rundown, Brady Quinn. He's not a brother.
He played linebacker in the NFL?
Make him say it, Brady.
He's
one of the all-time greats at Penn State. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yes, he's an All-American.
He's like Odafe Owe.
Yes. Okay. He's got legs like Earl Campbell.
Wait, does he have legs like Kevin Durant?
No.
Well, no, I'm just asking. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Possibly.
I don't know.
Possibly.
Ashley does exist.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm left out of the loop right now.
You missed it. That's why we're doing it, Kate. You missed it.
Yeah, nobody
missed it.
Nobody can Oh, never mind. People can't figure it out by now. I don't know what to tell.
If you ain't figured it out, then you're under a rock.
I do like Brady trying to get you to say it, though.
Man.
I do like it.
Say what?
All right.
Yeah. Lee De Niro. So what's going on, Lee?
Lee De Niro.
You guys, in case you missed it, Eddie had told us earlier in the show about the MLB lockout, first stoppage of work in 26 years. Well, if you look at MLB Network or MLB.com, you'll notice that there are no images of players on the site or on the network.
Oh, that's going to sting, guys.
Ooh.
That's got to really sting.
Ooh.
Good move by the owners.
You multimillionaires, we're not putting you on our website.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Come on, man.
They probably get more views on their personal pages on social.
Yes, they do. Yeah. You are dead on it. 100%.
So this is why these guys, some of them were in such a rush to get these deals done before.
Yes.
So
they knew it was coming.
Yeah, they didn't want to have to wait and see what was left over at the end of it. So they just went and got paid, and we'll just go from there.
Just don't know how that deal is going to be structured moving forward, what the owners might try to implement to change that collective bargaining agreement. You know, you never know, so it's not worth taking that risk. That's why some of these guys get this stuff done. The funny thing to me, though, is the baseball players have always had more leverage.
Yeah. 100%.
And they always flexed it. I mean, they basically walk into that negotiating room, they take out their baseball bat, and they just put on the table.
Just drop it.
Hey, you could take that figuratively, literally, whichever way you want it, but that's what they do. And every time the owners cower at that site.
And that's what Lee Delap is going to do in New York City and say, I'm taking your daughter's hand
all
in
right.
marriage.
Don't you guys who have played in the NFL, don't you look at Major League Baseball's Players Association and say, why can't we have that?
We look at the NBA the same way, too.
As far as contracts go.
It's apples to oranges.
It is.
You know what it is? I think it's in part our union doesn't do us any justice because in the baseball and in basketball, the agents work collectively with the union and with the players to help negotiate this stuff.
Everybody's working against each other in the NFL.
Yeah, and like it doesn't help when the union says they knock down the standard representation agreement, which is what they give to all players. They're like, yeah, you should only make these guys charge you 1.5% or 1%. It's like, well, that's not going to be good for the business of agents. So the reality is that's one of the biggest issues is they're working on an island. The agents are trying to do the best they can to manage the situation, but neither of which has helped the union and the players ever have any leverage on the owners. But it's a different sport, too. It's hard to have leverage on the owners in football.
What else we got?
And by the way, the movie was called Guess Who.
Oh, okay. Well,
just so we know.
No, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Well, yes.
Well, it's called
Ashton
Guess
Kutcher.
Who, but yes, the original is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. But
who?
Yeah.
That was something else.
Lee DeLap.
What else we got, Lee?
All right, you guys, in case you missed it, we had talked about it earlier in the week that Michigan and Ohio State had the greatest ratings in college football this season at 15.9 million. And in case you missed it, last Thanksgiving Day in the NFL, the average viewership was 29.7 million. That's a 9% increase. That was big numbers.
Crazy.
All across the board.
That is crazy.
Hey, but
think about the games that were played.
But remember, people are going to stop watching the NFL. They're just tired of everything going on.
That is crazy.
Stop watching.
29 million.
Hey, shout out though to
let me get $1 for each one of them views.
Shout out though to Big Noon Kickoff.
We
talked about it. You guys crushed it, man. Absolutely crushed it.
That
Brady Quinn
and Gus and Joel, man.
Hour four. Yeah. Let's talk more about
it. Let's go.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.